quand on lui prend le menton. Elle rit, c'est tout le mal qu'elle sait faire. Madelon, Madelon, Madelon.
Ossip Zadkine was one of the less talked about artists who converged on Montparnasse on Paris's left bank at the beginning of the 20th century. It was his home until 1967, when he died. His house and workshop are discreetly located behind an ordinary entrance on a busy street near the Luxembourg Gardens. Véronique Köhler is an expert on Zadkine's work and life and curated the exhibition currently on show in the Zadkine Museum. We met at the museum, where Zadkine's personal presence is still felt through some of his historically charged possessions. Véronique Köhler, we're here in the Musée Zadkine, in your office, which was a room in the house and the workshop of Ossip Zadkine himself. We're sitting on chairs that actually belonged to him, Louis XIII chairs, and we're sitting opposite a mirror that has a history as well.
En effet, c'est un très joli miroir qui est un de ces.
Yes, it's a very pretty mirror known as a Protestant mirror because they were often found in Protestant homes in France in the 17th century. These mirrors have a space behind the glass where the Protestants could hide the Bible. It helped them to avoid arrest if soldiers paid them a surprise visit.
De se protéger de toute arrestation.
A member of the modern art movement, Zadkine's sculptures stand solidly inside the museum, which had been his studio. They seem to grow out of the wood or stone or metal matter out of which they've been carved. Their style places Zadkine alongside his École de Paris or Paris School peers, such as Georges Braque, Marc Chagall, Henri Matisse or Amadeo Modigliani. Véronique Köhler says he may not be a household name like some of them, but he stood out and stood up for what he felt profoundly.
Son œuvre ne transige jamais avec le mièvre.
His work was always radical. He made no compromises. In the language of shape, his work is Russian. His roots are a part of his work. He has an extremely poetical approach to matter. Zadkine was one of the prominent artists who sculpted his material directly and helped sculpture become part of modern art. He liked cubism, but can't be called a cubist. He did prefer primitive or archaic forms, which rejected rules of proportion and aesthetic canons. He's very Slav in that he, the sculptor, doesn't impose himself on a block of stone. He enters it with all its imperfections and brings out the human in it. His technique is existential. It's common to both his work in stone and his drawings.
Évidemment, est commun à son travail de sculpteur et à son travail de dessinateur.
Years ago, Zadkine, who changed his name after coming to France in 1909 to make it sound less Jewish, was 26 when World War I broke out and signed up to join the Foreign Legion in 1915. He drove a Russian ambulance, finally facing the action in 1916, evacuating the wounded and ferrying them to field hospitals.
Dans ce second espace, qui à l'époque de Zadkine était un espace qui permettait de passer.
The exhibition at the Musée Zadkine this winter mingles his 30 or so drawings in pencil, ink, charcoal, gouache, watercolour, and later etchings taken from them with his sculptures. The graphic works reveal his own experience of World War I in hospital tents and other places he saw firsthand before he was gassed and hospitalised himself. The drawings date from after his return to his studio. It was a kind of therapy for Zadkine, whose lungs had been weakened by the poisonous gas of the trenches and which eventually led him to contracting tuberculosis.
It's the first time the drawings have been in the same place for more than a century. They're shown along with the etchings, which he did when he came back from the war in 1917-18. We should consider them as fragments of war. We see them a century after they were drawn. They're pieces of military and hospital reality. That's why they're so powerful. They are the real life, real time, of a man. Not of an artist, a man who had convictions and who tried to overcome and create a distance from his traumatic experiences through drawing, as one does with writing.
de se déprendre du bouleversant. Zadkine a dessiné comme on écrit, pour mettre à distance.
Compact installation from 2005 by late documentary and experimental filmmaker Chris Marker fits well with Zadkine's memories on paper and his physical and mental state. His almost primitive style drawings of soldiers with uniform strappings around their legs from ankle to knee, lying in rows, cramped inside what look like coffins, but are in fact the outlines of their beds or stretchers, which perspective has altered. Marker's work is called Owls at Noon, Prelude, The Hollow Men, in reference to US writer T.S. Eliot's poem called The Hollow Men of 1925, a post-World War I reflection. This is an extract from Eliot's poem.
The eyes are not here. There are no eyes here. In this valley of dying stars, in this hollow valley, this broken jaw of our lost kingdoms, in this last of meeting places, we grope together and avoid speech. Gathered on this beach of the Tumid River. Sightless, unless the eyes reappear as the perpetual star, multifoliate rose, of death's twilight kingdom, the hope only of empty men.
The 19-minute multimedia installation consists of a row of white metal-framed screens on a waist-high counter which have been placed in such a way that Zadkine's drawings, laid out like a cartoon book or film storyboard, lead the eye to the images, deep, sad portraits, photograms of the First World War. Despite the luminosity of the image, they are dark and devoid somehow of colour. They alternate on the screen between moving lines of Eliot's poetry and are repeated on the row of screens amid low, mournful sounds. Kohler explains why she chose to exhibit this piece of Marker's work with Zadkine's drawings.
Cette œuvre est cardinale dans l'exposition parce qu'elle.
This is a cardinal work in the exhibition. Marker took the exactly opposite direction from the one Zadkine had taken a century ago. None of us can pretend to have memories from World War I because none of us were there. The Hollow Men is a mythical poem which, in a whole generation's mind, incarnates those men who came back from the front, the so-called lost generation. The music alters the perception of those who watch it. Marker gradually sails us away from the banks of memory, and it can produce a strange sensation, as if we were experiencing our own memories from World War I. Marker and Zadkine's work crisscross. The aim of this exhibition is for the visitor to experience the substance of the drawings and to consider them as Zadkine considered the war. If it works, the visitor will leave knowing what it was like to go through that war and to come back.
Un homme dont le destin fut de la traverser et d'en revenir.
Curator Kohler says the exhibition as a whole is as much about the man as the artist, if not more so. And it's also about investigating our own impressions of World War I, as well as war in general.
Les dessins qui sont présentés ici et les gravures en sont le prolongement direct.
The drawings and etchings displayed here are the work of a man who was able to look the war victims in the face. Zadkine gave these men his consideration. He didn't keep himself at a distance. He committed his entire self as a stretcher bearer and was fully aware of what the war was about in human terms. Carnage.
Et de carnage pour l'humain qui a été cette guerre.
The exhibition War Destinies, War Drawings is on until the 5th of February 2017, and the museum is open all year round. That's all we have time for this week in Art in France. My thanks to Véronique Kohler and the Zadkine Museum, and to my AAA colleagues, Alain, Angela, Aidan, who assisted this week. And thank you for listening. From me, Roselyne Hyams, and until next time, goodbye.
Sous la tonnelle, on frôle son jupon et chacun. qui raconte une histoire à sa façon. La main de l'homme pour nous n'est pas ses frères. Quand on lui prend la taille ou le menton, elle rit, c'est tout le mal qu'elle sait faire. Madelon, Madelon, Madelon.